That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. It's a nice name for a river, isn't it? The Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel." Israel means he struggles with God. He struggles with God. "You're going to be called Israel. He struggles with God, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, which means face of God, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." And the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Before we dive into, there's a few Bible verses, we'll come back to that. And I want you to, I really enjoyed the opening 5 minutes of this DVD by Bill Hybel and his team. So let's enjoy it now. Are you guilty of that? I just ask, are you guilty of that? Was there a time in your life when you prayed wholeheartedly and now you only pray half-heartedly? Is that true? Can you point back to a time in your life when everything was fresh and you prayed? Maybe you prayed on your knees. Maybe you prayed with the Bible open in front of you. Maybe you just sought the Lord and it seemed that God was just answering prayers and so close. And now, you know, you still believe, but your prayers don't have that same intensity. It's not uncommon. Not at all uncommon. Many Christians have been through that, and many are going through it now. And what I want to bring out this evening is to ask, is that right? Is it right to be praying in that way? Is it right to go through the whole day without really talking with God, to run from one thing to the next, and not get hold of God, and not to seek him, and to beseech him, and to hold things? Is it right not to carry things through in your heart for week after week, month after month, year after year, as you intercede and will not let go until God answers that? It seems to me that if we're going to be great followers of Jesus, we've got to be great servants of each other, we've got to be humble, but we've got to be men and women of prayer. However we do that, and we've all got our different styles, there's some things that work for me won't work for you. And I've already looked in previous studies, we've got to have somewhere where we can go. It might be a chair, in my case it's a rocking chair facing the mountains. Yours might just be a comfy chair in your student accommodation. It might be your conservatory, it might be your potting shed, it might be that you go out, you take the dog for a long walk and you pray as you're taking your dog for a walk. And I've known people do that, and it does the dog good and it does you good. It doesn't matter where it is or how it is, you need a place where you find God day by day. But I think if we're going to pray, we need to pray with great integrity. One of my favorite examples, if you might just need to open the Bible with me in this, is Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah comes before the Psalms, before the book of Job. And Nehemiah was a man of huge integrity. And he's never been to Jerusalem in his life, never been there. Knows all about it, read about it, heard about it, talked to people who have been there, but he's never been. And he has a high position in the right up in the top of the civil service in the Babylonian government. And he says this. Some people come back from Jerusalem, and it's been discovered that Jerusalem is in ruins. It's been in ruins since the war. Oh, I don't know. Get my dates right here. About 76, yeah. Getting on for 70, 80, 100 years before. 100 years before, more than 100 years before. 120 years before. It's never been rebuilt, and it's a mess. And he says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly towards you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, and even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. I love the integrity in this. He doesn't come to God as if it's his right. He comes to God because God's allowed him graciously into his presence. But he doesn't pretend to be something he's not. He comes with all his own faults and the faults of everybody. It doesn't say, you've got to do this because we're great. He says, we're sinners. And I'm begging mercy here. I'm begging mercy. I'm asking you, God, just give me a break. Give us a break here. Yeah, we don't deserve any of this, but Lord, just be gracious. I love his integrity, don't you? You've got to have integrity in prayer. Just got to be honest before God. Don't pretend to be something you're not. And then you've got to have great faith. Bill Hybels mentioned the Bible verse worth looking at again. James chapter 1. And he mentioned a later verse in James chapter 1. But I like verses 6 to 8. James is talking about when you ask. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So how have you asked? Have you asked in integrity? Have you asked with great faith? Are you persistent in your prayers? Do you attack your prayer life with enthusiasm? You just go for it because you've got to seek for God. You've got to find God in all his ways. So I just want to come back to Genesis, if I may. Genesis 32, verses 26 to 28. It's such a mysterious passage. And in Genesis 32, 6 to 8, Jacob wrestles with, and you know, theologians, we all ask, just who was this guy who wrestled with Jesus? Some of the really hot theologians, the hardline, say, oh, that was Jesus, a pre-incarnational appearance of Jesus. I've never been convinced of that argument. Some say, well, you know, it was an angel. Some say, well, maybe it was God. I don't know. We don't know. And some theologians say, well, it didn't actually happen. It was all in his head. Look, I don't know. I wasn't there. We only got what the Bible says. And as far as the Bible says, it's written because something was happening. Jacob was desperately praying before God. This man who had grown spiritually enormously in his time, he'd seen all the errors of his ways, and he was just a man who's broken before God. And what does he do? He's praying. And this whoever it is, and you can talk about it over soup in Faith Cafe if you like. And who was this guy? And if you work the answer out, you just tell me, because I really don't know. All I know is that Jacob is praying, and this guy is wrestling with him. And it's gone on for hours, and the guy says, let me go. And Jacob says, no, I won't let you go. I won't let you go until you bless me. And I just know that whatever actually happens, it's there to teach you and me about the necessity of hanging on to God in prayer. Do you know there are times you do that? You will not let it go. There are times, as I've said in previous studies, there are times in prayer when your praying is done and you just hand it to God and you walk away. But there are other times that you just know in your heart you've got to hang on to this. There are times in your heart you just get more and more intense and you say, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to pray about it today, tomorrow, next week, and I'm going to pray about it for the next 20 years if I have to, and I will. I will not let this go. And there have been times in my own prayer life when that's happened. A friend of mine, his wife went down with ME. And I began praying for her. And there's something in me saying, I'm going to pray for this girl until she gets better. So I prayed for 6 months and there was no improvement. I prayed for a year, there was no improvement. I prayed for 5 years, there was no improvement. I ended up praying for something like 25 years. And all sorts of things happened in her life, and Susan and I were in Brazil too, and I've only seen her a few occasions, and all kinds of things happened, some things went wrong in their lives, and some things went right. And then I got an email from her saying, do you know, I've started going to the gym. This girl who's in a wheelchair, and she said, I'm going to the gym. She was walking to the gym and she was working out on the machines. And, you know, God touched it. I don't know why it took 25 years. I just don't know what it was or how it was. But there was something in me all those years that said, don't let it go. You hang on to God. I will not let you go unless you bless me. There are times you pray that intensely. There are times you find yourself lying on the floor praying. There are times you find yourself in your heart screaming out to God. I've got to have an answer on this. I will not let this go. I won't let it go. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray. And you find yourself praying at odd moments. And it was interesting, you know, just now we were talking about praying and a family went through my mind that I met this morning, and as you were sharing Bible verses and talking, I just imagined myself just praying for this family. Just something, there's something there that's saying in my heart, Peter, you've got to pray for this family and keep on praying. Don't let it go. Don't walk away from your responsibility in prayer. Pray for them. And that there are times there are going to be people and situations that are going to be that high on your prayer list. And that's good. That is normal. That's normal. It's normal to be that involved. It's normal to have that attachment to this item for prayer. And you find yourself praying. At odd moments, you might be driving and you find yourself praying. You might be walking down the street and suddenly you find yourself praying. They're on your prayer list and you pray for them regularly. And you come to that point when your prayer has got a bit long and you say, I just need to shorten my prayer list. And you come to that item and you say, but I'm not going to take this off. I'm not going to let this go until God blesses. I'm not going to let this go until God gives me an answer. This is my prayer for this person and I'm not going to give it up. That kind of determination, that kind of commitment, that bordering at times on despair. In Jacob's case, it was despair. He didn't know if he's going to live or die tomorrow. And he was just calling out to God, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He's not going to step, he didn't want to step out into the dawn light without knowing that God was going to be with him the next day. So, I mean, he was in a difficult situation. But it can be something that's ongoing for years. Can I encourage you, please, to treat that as normal? That's how prayer should be. Keep it going. Keep it going. And don't be surprised if it goes on for decades. Some of these prayers do go on for decades. But what I say is don't give up on it. If God has placed that on your heart, don't give up until you feel God releasing you from that burden. keep on praying. Please keep on praying. And don't be scared of sinking your heart and your emotion into your prayers. Came across, I was looking for a sort of good example to finish with, and unfortunately Bill Hybels gave me a perfect one. And he says this, he says that some years ago he had a baptism, and when they baptized hundreds of people. It's Willow Creek, big flagship church in America. And afterwards on the stairs, he said, I bumped into a woman who was crying. I couldn't understand how anyone could weep after such a celebration. So I stopped and asked her if she was all right. No, she explained, I'm struggling. My mother was baptized today. And this is a problem, I thought. And the woman went on, I prayed for her every day for 20 years. And the woman started crying again. So Bill's confused at this point. The woman's mother's been baptized. And the woman's prayed for her mother for 20 years to be baptized. And now she's crying her eyes out. You're going to have to help me understand this, I said. I'm crying, the woman replied, because I came so close to giving up on her. I mean, after 5 years, I said, who needs this? God isn't listening. After 10 years, I said, why am I wasting my breath? After 15 years, I said, this is absurd. After 19 years, I said, I'm just a fool. But even though my faith was weak, I kept praying. And finally, she gave her life to Christ, and that woman was baptized today. Looking me dead in the eye, she said, I will never doubt the power of prayer again. Don't be scared to get involved with prayer. Don't be scared to face a lack of answer. Don't be scared. If God doesn't answer, you just keep praying. God doesn't mind. God expects that of us. Sometimes answers to prayer will be quick. Sometimes they'll take longer. But don't be scared. God loves you. God cares about you. He's given you permission to be in his presence. And he's happy to see you day after day as you pray for that. Now, I don't know why God doesn't give us instant answers to prayer. But I know this. I believe in him. I trust in him. I'll hold on to him, even though I don't always understand, but I rarely understand the ins and outs of what's going on. But I know that God is good. I know that he cares. And I know that he wants me there praying. So can I ask you, please, as we're going through these studies on prayer, would you please start taking this seriously, dead seriously? Because your prayers are going to change people's lives. How good is that? Let's bow our heads and pray. If the band please would join me on the platform. Father, I confess I've drifted away from prayer sometimes. And I find myself even now learning more and more about prayer, going deeper into deeper prayer, because when I go deeper into prayer, I go deeper into you. And while I can't see why things happen the way they do, I just know, Lord, that you're there. And as things go wrong and you take me into the heart of situations that are difficult, you're teaching me and you're teaching us to get closer to you, to get closer into your mystery, into your wonder. So, Lord, just give us that determination to hang on to you through the bad times, through the worrying times, through the difficult times, to keep praying, trusting that that's what we've been called to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.